Amen. Appreciate the message that we've heard already. And what's on our mind as we continue in Ephesians chapter 6 is very much in keeping with that. As a matter of fact, you have a great deal of the doctrinal basis for this practical application. And so, I'm going to try to deal with the practical aspects and not lay so much of a foundation today. In Ephesians chapter 6, we've been going through the armor of God and been reminding you that the lesson is to put it on. Remember? And we talked about how that in order to put on this armor, since it's not physical armor of a soldier, he's using the analogy of a soldier to describe to us the kind of armor that we have to face the battle that we face. In order to put this armor on, we have to put it into our mind, don't we? Put it in to put it on. All right? So when we think about having your loins, and we talked about each piece of this armor, the lesson being put it on, then we need to apply it somehow. So he says, having your loins girded about with truth. In other words, there's something you need to do with this. God has given us the armor. Christ wore it first. He wore it in perfect righteousness. He accomplished for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. But bless your hearts, he's given us in his word those things to remember and to think about and to apply to our lives so that we can be protected in this battle that we face. Now, I think I've asked the question every time that we've talked about this, but I'll ask it again. Do we have a spiritual warfare that we need to face today? Did you have it yesterday? Will you have it tomorrow? As long as we live, we're going to face this spiritual warfare. To sum up what Brother John just preached to us, if you keep those things in memory, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit with that helmet of salvation, but we're going to talk about the shield of faith today. Verse 16, Ephesians 6, verse 16. And like I said, it's probably going to be more of the practical aspects of this. But in describing this armor, and we talked about having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, we're righteous through Christ, what we've heard this morning. Remember that. It'll help you as you face the challenges of each day. And then after the breastplate of righteousness, to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to remember what Christ has done for us, to help us to stand. We need that, don't we? I need it. I suspect you do too. Every day that we live. If we would get up in the morning, I tell you, we would do better if when we got up in the morning, we would remember what Brother John has preached to us this morning. That Christ has fulfilled the law for us. To help us. To encourage us and to strengthen us. All right? So, having your feet shod. Put it on. All right? Having your feet protected, being able to walk better before the Lord. Do you remember Enoch in Genesis? Enoch. We're not told a lot about him, are we? Well, in one respect, we don't have a lot of words in the scripture to describe Enoch, but we're told a great deal about him. That Enoch walked with God. How closely did Enoch walk with God? Do you walk as close to the Lord as Enoch did? Maybe, but I have to wonder. Because Enoch walked so closely with the Lord took him home. We're still here. Enoch was not, because the Lord translated him. But he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Can you say that about your walk? Now, Enoch didn't say that about his own walk. The Lord said it. From time to time, I've brought up the idea, what would you have put on your, as the epithet on your tombstone? What do you want to be remembered? Or how will people, let's just get more accurate with it. How will people remember you? What few words could be put on a tombstone that would remind somebody of you? You ever thought about it? I can think of a few comical things, but how would you like for the Lord, how would you like for others to remember you? Somebody that walked with God? You know, that's what we have in the Bible for Enoch. He pleased God. Having your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, well, take notice that the Lord said this above all, right? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The soldier's shield, in some of the reading that I've done, was commonly something about 2.5 feet wide, about 4.5 feet high. That would give you a lot of protection, wouldn't it? But it's not so big that you couldn't see over it to see where you need to go and what you need to do. But think about now, back when a soldier was primarily in hand-to-hand combat, think of how that shield being that size and how it could shield or and protect against the sword or whatever the person was using with which you're battling. That's what he's comparing to faith. And when he says above all, it's not so much that this is the most important, although it is highly important, but this covers all. In this sense, it helps you, faith helps you to use all the Christian graces. Whatever it is, however it is that we need to please the Lord. You see, you've received grace, haven't you? I believe I know enough of you here to know that you have received of the grace of God. But you didn't deserve it. And I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm just simply giving you that fact. Brother John said, we're all sinners. Okay? We've all sinned. Even those little babies, even though when they become sinners by practice, they were already a sinner by nature. It's just in us. It's just the condition that we're in. All right? When we think about the grace that's been bestowed upon us, we've received forgiveness for our sins. You believe that? Really? Do you trust in it? Is it your only hope? Because you understand that without the grace of God, we have no hope. All right? Do you trust in it? Do you believe it? Are you depending upon it to be the truth? Are you keeping it in mind every day? I've received things I don't deserve. God has been so good to me. He's been so good to you. You've received of His bountiful hand, and you didn't deserve any of it. All right? That being the case, since we've been the happy recipients of grace, We need to minister that to others. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I just like to hear about what God's done for me. Well, He's loved us so much. He's been so merciful to us. He's been so forgiving of us. Shouldn't we be like Him? And so those Christian graces, that the grace that we've received, we ought to live in such a way that manifests it to others. Oh, but preacher, they don't deserve it. Neither did you. But God gave it to us anyway, because He's so good. And because He's so good, and He's given us so much, out of gratitude and thanksgiving to Him, we ought to be showing those kinds of things to others. We ought to be forgiving of one another. Right? Believe that?
That's right.
All right. Remember, we ought to be merciful to others. God's been merciful to us. I hope God's not finished being merciful to us. So we need to be merciful to one another, don't we? God's been long-suffering with us. Oh, well, that means we need to be long-suffering toward one another, don't we? See, if we're going to bear fruit of the Spirit, and all those things that it describes, those nine things that are described as the fruit of the Spirit, when we walk by faith, when we're trusting God, and by the way, this shield of faith is not the shield of the faith. It's the shield of faith. It's walking by faith. It's trusting God. It's having confidence in Him. It's trusting Him in all of our needs. We need to be mindful of our needs and thankful for our needs and depending upon God and trusting His faithfulness that He will do as He has said. And He's promised to take care of us, hasn't He? And if God can speak this world into existence, if God can create such things that are so complex that we'll never figure them out this side of glory, if God can do that, and He can, don't you know that He can take care of your little needs each day? And are you trusting Him to do that? Are you walking by faith and trusting Him in the blessings that He's already given to us and trusting Him to follow in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord, that would be a blessing to those around about us, and trusting that the Lord will supply our every need? Are we walking by faith in that way? If you are, then you're holding up your shield of faith, because that's trusting. You know, I'm glad we don't have to tote around a 2.5 by 4.5 foot shield all the time, aren't you? We've got something better. Our trust in the Lord, because of what He has done for us, working in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure, then bless your hearts, we can follow Him and trust Him and do those things which are pleasing unto Him. All right? So when He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is over all that we need. We have struggles. We need to trust God, don't we? If we have times of rejoicing, we need to be faithful to God. All right? Whatever it is, whatever Christian grace that we need to demonstrate, whatever grace has come our way, then faith is just over all of it. It's a part of all of our activities, all of what we need in the way of trusting God and believing that He will supply what we need. All right? Now, when your faith is strong, it protects you and helps you through the struggles, right? What happens if your faith is weak? Oh, preacher, I'd never get in that condition. I've learned to be strong. Really. I heard someone say years ago, We shouldn't say I've learned, we should say I'm learning. Because as soon as we think we've learned something, we prove to ourselves that we still need to learn more about it. So, let's use a Bible illustration. You remember the time that the disciples went with the Lord in a ship. And they went out to sea, the Sea of Galilee. And I understand that that Sea of Galilee oftentimes has storms that just come up like that. Now, this was no surprise to the disciples. They were fish. Many of them were fishermen. They knew what it was like. But they got into this ship, and they were out on the sea, and a storm, a great storm, came up. How would you like to have been there? Put yourself in the position of one of those disciples on that ship in the sea in a great storm. Having fun? I don't think so. I don't even like to be in a storm on the land. Much less, you know, I remember the first time I was in a fishing boat where we put out the anchor and we had a 100-foot line and it didn't touch bottom, and that made me feel a little funny. If you sank there, you'd go way down. That was out at Austin, Texas. All right? Well, the sea would be much deeper than that, perhaps. And in a storm? So what was the condition of those disciples? Were they leaned up and say, well, the Lord's with us. We don't have any problem. Is that what they were doing? No. Not at all. They had a lot to learn, didn't they? They're going to prove it toward the end of this. But they were panicking. Lord, carest thou not? Mark chapter 4. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? I mean, the wind was strong and boisterous. The waves were rough and high, and the boat was being tossed, and the water was coming into the boat. What happens if you get too much water in there? You're going down. And they thought they were going down. So they were not trusting in the Lord, were they? They were not confident in His power. They were not mindful of His promises. They were scared. Have you ever been there? Has that ever been part of your life? That you were scared. It may not have been a storm. It might have been a storm. We've been in some bad storms, haven't we? It might have been a storm. But it might have been a storm in some relationship. It might have been a storm in some situation at work. It might have been some problem that was facing you that it was a struggle. We get there at times, don't we? Life has those kinds of things that it throws at us at times. How do we protect ourselves? Faith. Hold up that shield. Now, I'm not saying that all your problems are going to instantly go away. I'm saying that when we're leaning and depending and trusting and having confidence in the Lord, He will give us the strength and help us to get through it. That's what we need, isn't it? All right, now if it pleased God, He could remove it in an instant. We know that, don't we? Okay? In this lesson of the storm, He certainly rose up and He said, "Peace, be still." There was a great calm. All right? Sometimes, if you think about what those disciples were going through during the storm and before the Lord calmed the storm, sometimes that spiritual warfare is like that, isn't it? And remembering what we have in Christ, remembering who we are in Christ, remembering the help that we have from Him, it will help us, it will strengthen us, it will protect us from the fears and many of the struggles that we would have otherwise. But if we're trying to make it on our own strength, if we're trying to depend upon something else instead of the Lord, it can get to be quite a struggle, can't it? Can you see how faith shields us from so much when we're strong in the Lord? That's what Paul said about this armor. Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. We have very little might against the struggles of this life. But bless your hearts, the Lord has all the strength that we need. All right, so life can be hard and it can be uncertain. You know, it may not be so boisterous or so stormy, but it could be very uncertain, can it? I mean, we're living in a day where there's a lot of changes happening in our culture. Diagnosis of diseases, it seems like it's just escalating. There's just all kinds of problems and uncertainties in life. Where would we be without faith in the Lord? And the understanding that He is our righteousness, that He did die for our sins, that we are safe in Him, and we can never be separated from Him. I tell you, that does give us perfect peace. By the way, the rest of that verse, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, for he trusteth in thee. Trusting. It needs to be a part of our daily life, doesn't it? I hope it is a part of your daily life. But if we do more of it, we could have more of that peace, couldn't we? We could have more peace in the storm. Jesus was asleep on a pillow in that storm. It wasn't bothering him, was it? Oh, he has all power. That's true. But he's the one in whom our confidence rests. He's the one who still has the power. We don't. And so we need to hold up that shield of faith when we're facing the storms of life. We need to hold up that shield of faith when we're faced with the uncertainties that come against us every day. We need the Lord every step we take. And in the new birth, He gives us faith. But that faith sometimes, you know, and I'm going to stay with that storm and the disciples in that ship. Jesus, when they came to Him and awoke Him, on one occasion, on one of the, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three give us an account of this. And one time Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." How big is your shield this morning? Is it little? Or is it big? How big is your God? See, He can't be any bigger than He is, but He can certainly be bigger in our mind. And how we think about Him, He can certainly be much bigger than He is at times. When Jesus said, "O ye of little faith," let's see, that was in Matthew's account of it. They came, when they woke Him up, He said, "Why are ye so fearful?" Again, He knew exactly the answer, didn't He? But He asked the question to teach us something. Teach them. And it flows down to us. Why are ye so fearful? Well, if they answered it, they probably said, "Well, the storm, the wind, the water, we're about to die." Why are you so fearful? See, the implication is, He is the master of the wind and the waves. And He was about to prove it. He was about to still the storm and the sea. Why then are you so fearful? They weren't fearful when the wind stopped. They weren't fearful when the waves were calmed. Why were they so fearful? They didn't know what manner of man this was. They didn't understand that He would actually exercise His almighty power to still the storm. But could He? You know He could, because it showed it to us in His Word. He did that. Can He do it today? Can He still the storms in your life? Can he give you a peace which passeth understanding today? Then why are you so fearful? Why? Because I know there are times, myself as well, there are times when we're fearful. Oh, but that's right. If we'll think about our Lord, if we'll think about our security in Him, if we think about what He's done for us, oh, it'll make a difference, won't it? The wind may not stop. The sea may not be calm. But you'll have a peace within you that passes understanding. And you will have some help to face whatever it is you're facing. In Matthew, he said, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" He asks and answers the question. That's why they were so fearful. O ye of little faith. Not because he didn't give them, he didn't give them defective faith. We have to grow, don't we? Grow in understanding and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They weren't applying it. They had a lot to learn at that point, but they weren't applying a trust in the Lord. You see, just very shortly after that, the sea was going to be calm. The winds were going to be stopped. And their fears would be gone. But he asked the question, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" That's the problem, isn't it? The little faith. How could you have a bigger faith? By getting a view of a bigger God. By getting a better understanding of what He's already done for us. By getting a better understanding of our position in Him. Getting a better understanding of our eternal security in the blood of Jesus Christ. Even if we faced a situation that just took our life just like that, we're safe in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Can't that calm some fears if you're in a situation where you feel threatened? All right. In Mark's account of this, he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, obviously, he's saying the same thing, but these different writers are coming at it from a little different angle. There's no contradiction here. All right, Matthew had in mind that they weren't trusting very much. Here in Mark, we find him saying, "Why is it that you have no faith?" In other words, you're not showing any trust in the Lord. You ever had those situations? Have we ever had a situation where we tried to work it out ourselves? Where we tried to depend upon something else? Instead of saying, "Lord, I'm ignorant, I'm weak, I need your help. Help me, Lord." Faith, trusting, confidence, holding up the shield to protect us in whatever we're facing in life. And it comes in so many ways, doesn't it? All right. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, we're not all in that ship. We're not all facing the storm in the sea. But we have our storms in life, don't we? We have problems that we're facing. And when Mark recorded for us, "How is it that you have no faith?" That might speak to the idea of us turning away from faith. You know, where you're going along in life and you all of a sudden start thinking about some other things instead of serving the Lord and kind of veer off course and start turning away and abandoning some of the things that you know that are right because you want to do something that would be pleasing to this old flesh. And all of a sudden there's no faith being seen in that life. We're not holding up the shield, are we? We're vulnerable and we're weak And Satan knows just where to get us. We need that shield, brothers and sisters. We need that shield. We need to be holding up that shield so that we can be strong, so that we can be a help to others. If we're so wounded ourselves, what help are we to others? We need to be strong in the faith. We need to be holding up that shield. We need to be trusting the Lord and having confidence in knowing that He has all knowledge and all power. And He can help us in whatever need we have. In Luke's account of this, Luke 8:25, he's kind of put it all together in one statement. Where is your faith? When you're facing storms in life and you're fearful and struggling, where is your faith? In Luke's account of it, and from Luke's perspective, when he asks the question, where's your faith? It's almost like he's saying, I don't see it. I don't see it. Now, if they were his, if they were born of the Spirit, and I believe they were, every indication is that they were, then what he's saying is, I'm not seeing any evidence of it. That's why we need to be walking by faith. That's why we need to be trusting the Lord. That's why we need to be looking to Him with full confidence. You know, so many times we've talked about David and the outstanding characteristic that David had such confidence, unwavering confidence in the Lord. Oh, we need to be more like that, don't we? If so, we can be holding up our shield. All right? So there's lots of things that we encounter in life. But he also says, and I got to bring this to a close, he also says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So again, imagine the battlefield. And there's hand-to-hand combat. He's having to hold up the shield to block this blow and all the things that go on in battle. But then somewhere at a distance, somebody launches an arrow. Sometimes things in life just come out of nowhere. They catch you off guard. It's not right in front of you. It's not evident where it came from, but it just comes out of nowhere. What are you going to do? You're going to be discouraged? You're going to be saying, woe is me? You're going to have a pity party? Or are you going to say, Lord, help me. I'm trusting that You know exactly what I need. I'm trusting that You will provide for me. See how important faith is? Not only in what we're facing at the moment, but when things come out of nowhere, we need that faith. And he says faith can quench. Didn't say it'll keep it from hitting, but it'll quench. The idea is that holding up faith, walking by faith, you will be able to protect yourself from those. All right? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This spiritual warfare that we have, we fight the flesh. Our own flesh is our closest foe, right? We fight the world, this world system. And there's so much in the world that's ungodly. So much in the world that we're confronted with every day that's ungodly. And if we busy ourselves very much with it and mix and mingle with it, it's going to pull us away. We've got the flesh, we've got the world, and we've got Satan himself. And he is not your friend. The Bible is clear that he is our adversary. He is against us. Oh, he'll make himself look good, he'll make himself sound good to get your interest. But he's not interested in your well-being. We need protection. We need help. We need to be walking by faith. Because part of walking by faith is to be able to see a situation and realize what the need is, or to you know, be circumspect in our thinking, be sober, having self-control about us, all those kinds of things as we walk by faith. When we're walking in the flesh, we're not walking by faith, are we? All right? So he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Very briefly, do you remember the situation or the time when Abraham and Lot were together and their herds increased? And it became a problem. And I don't have a lot of time to go into a lot of the story, but do you remember what was on Abraham's heart? The herdmen were striving with one another. What was Abraham's response? I'm the senior partner here. You know, you're going to do as I say? Is that the way? No, that wasn't Abraham. Abraham said, let there be no strife. He wanted peace. He just wanted to serve the Lord. He just wanted to walk in paths of righteousness. And if the land was not big enough where they were to support the herds, then the reasonable thing would be to take separate directions, spread out. And so he didn't look for the best for himself, did he? See, we're talking about faith here. He let Lot choose, and he was willing to trust the Lord to take care of him with whatever was left. Wow. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? Trusting the Lord. Did the Lord take care of Abraham? Oh, yes. Lot went over there and got in trouble. Lot had to go get him. Talk about bailing somebody out. He went and got him and brought him back. Defeated those other nations. All right? Trusting the Lord. Walking by faith. And after that, remember what the Lord told Abraham? Genesis 15. It says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, why did Abraham need to know that God was his shield at that moment in time? Because he'd gone out and defeated kings of that land. He was a sojourner. He didn't grow up there. But he went out and defeated those people who lived there. It's very possible. The Bible doesn't say, but it's very reasonable that Abraham wondered if there's going to be some repercussions. You know, that's the way those folks were. And by the way, they still are. Eye for an eye. You do that to me, I'm going to do it back. So it's very, very reasonable that Abraham was wondering if there's going to be some repercussions from him going out and rescuing Lot and his family and all their belongings and all those kinds of things. The Lord said, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Do you see something about the blessings of walking by faith? Trusting God, having confidence in the Lord, holding up that shield of faith. He's given it to us. There's blessings from it. There's joy, there's peace, there's confidence, serenity, sanity in this crazy world. There's so many blessings from holding up that shield of faith. We can get discouraged too, can't we? That can be quite a storm. The devil loves to discourage God's people. I know he loves to discourage the ministry, right? He loves to do that. It's time when we have to hold up that shield. Trust the Lord. We may not be able to see very far down the path, but we know that we need to trust the Lord right where we are. and he'll take care of the rest. Oh, may God help us to remember what he's done for us, what he's doing for us each day, what we have to look forward to when this life is over, and trust him and hold up that shield of faith and quench those fiery darts of the wicked every day and walk in a way that would be pleasing. See, everything that we have to do, we need faith. We need to do it by faith. Faith works by love. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ, looking for his coming again, all these things by faith. May God help us to keep that shield of faith lifted up, protecting us and walking in a way that would be pleasing unto him. May God bless you, is our prayer.